Listen, my beloved, look. Here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My beloved spoke and he said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." He. My dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. She. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He browses among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or like a young stag on the rugged hills.
Well, today is the first Sunday in spring, and when I wrote that earlier in the week, I was assuming I'd be saying that in like bright, sunny weather, beautiful, sort of constant, calm spring weather that we normally get here. I was going to say, have you noticed how things have suddenly changed with spring coming in? But, well, that didn't happen. So it's just normal wet and quite a wet day today, we called. But I was thinking that even with here on the Tweed, yes, we have the change of seasons, and the calendar says we're now in spring, but we tend to be fairly steady across seasons. We don't get many dramatic changes. I've heard locals say that this is the coldest winter that we've had for a long time, but people still keep coming up to us from down south because it's even colder down there. But we are seeing some changes. The wattle's now out, our bulbs are coming up. We've got our first freesias and daffodils up at home. And while we have the Jacaranda Festival and then Floria to celebrate spring, they really go all out celebrating spring in the Northern Hemisphere. Hanami, the Cherry Blossom Festival in Japan, Walpurgis in Sweden, Lavender Festivals in France, Tulip Shows in Ottawa and the Netherlands, and then Spring Equinox Festivals like in nearly every country in the Northern Hemisphere. Maybe that's because the contrast between winter and spring in those colder countries is really stark. The spring equinox tips the scales to suddenly more daylight hours than darkness hours. Spring marks the coming out of darkness, cold, death of winter, and into light, warmth, and life. It's a time of joy and celebration, of colour, food, and the aroma of flowers. It's sort of all those things that were dormant and dead are now coming back to life. Well, the Song of Songs passage we read there from verses 8 to 17 of chapter 2, we have a distinct song within the wider musical. It starts there in verses 8 and 9 with talk about mountains, gazelle, stag, and it ends in verse 17 with mountains, gazelle, stag. And so these are two bookends that shape a distinct song. And between those bookends is a song full to bursting with life, playfulness, invitation, joy. Again, all our senses are summoned to savour the fullness of what the couple experience. It's a song of spring that invites us to rejoice in new life, to let our imaginations find connections throughout Scripture. I was listening to Garrison Keillor, who did the Prairie Home Companion and Lake Wobegong stories. He was telling a story about his childhood when he didn't want to go to school. So he's sort of trudging along the road and kicking a stone along, and he had this sort of revelation that he today would give that stone complete power, that wherever he kicked it was where he would go, and he was hoping that it would take him away from school, and it did, and there's this amazing and funny adventures. So we're not going to kick a stone along, but we're going to follow our noses today. Once we have a look at Song of Songs 2, where's it going to lead us in Scripture? See where these blossoming vines take us as they spread their delicious scent. We're going to let our ears follow the notes in this season of singing and the cooing of doves and see where we end up in the rest of the Bible. So this song within a song is a duet. We've seen that before, of he and she singing to each other. But today's different in that she's singing his words for the first part. She sings what he has sung to her. See there in verse 10. My beloved spoke and said to me, arise, my darling. So she's singing a song that he has already sung to her. But the action of this song takes place. She's inside in the house and he's outside. She's there in the house, but as she looks outside, there in the distance, here he comes, and he has that jaunty gait of a man in love. He's leaping across mountains, bounding over hills. He's graceful and full of life like a gazelle or a young stag. He's like Tom Bombadil, bounding beside the Witherwindle River, gathering lilies for Goldberry and singing her praises. He's in complete command of all that he sees and enjoys. So he bounds up to the wall, and now he's at the window, and now he's peering through the latticework. He's playful, excited about what he's seen outside, and he beckons her to come out. Come on outside. Come and see what's out here. Come and enjoy. The winter's over. The outside and the future hold even more delights. What they've enjoyed together already has been bliss. We've seen that. And there's even more to come now. New beauty to share, new experiences to enjoy. The promise of even more joy, if that could be possible, in their relationship. Nature's celebrating with him and he with it, and it's come and enjoy this life that's out here. And he wants her to enjoy it with him. So this song is bookended by mountains, gazelle, stag, but his part in the song also has bookends. Verses 10 and 13 have a repetition. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. So twice he's given her this invitation to arise and to wake up and to come with him and to enjoy life in all its fullness. And he uses his favourite pet name for her. He's got a few pet names through the song. But my darling, that one keeps coming back. That's his favourite for her, pet name. And between these two invitations, his description of the outside world just engages all our senses. Once again, the Song of Songs is recapturing again something of Eden. He's singing of a garden where it's all very good. There's no disharmony or danger. The rains in this Eden they've just finished. We don't get rained on. They've just come, and now in verse 12, the flowers are in bloom. So the rain softened earth delights our feet. And our eyes get to feast on all these colours of the flowers that are coming out. Maybe they're lavender and jacaranda, daffodil, wattle, flowering gum. Our ears thrill to the season of singing and the cooing of doves. Our mouths water at the prospect of these early figs there in verse 13. They're the ones that are chock-a-block full of sugar and are incredibly sweet. And our noses draw us to the window to savour the fragrance of the blossoming vines. Now, is that honeysuckle or is it jasmine? On this freezes as well. Just everything about us is being engaged here. We're touching and tasting and seeing and hearing and feeling all these beautiful sensations of new life everywhere. A world of colour and music. He's seen the beauty of this new land, and he uses all his pet names for her to wake her up and to get her attention, to bring her outside. My darling, my beautiful one, my dove in the cleft of the rock. He's like Gomez Adams in the original TV series of all these beautiful names that he calls her. Come on outside. He's gone ahead. He's explored the new land. He comes leaping back with the good news. The time of darkness, cold, death of winter's over. There's no need to stay inside now. Come out into light and warmth and life. But she's inside. In verse 9, he's outside looking in, he's behind the wall, he's looking through the window, he's peering through the lattice. There are so many barriers, so many obstacles between her and him. How can he get his way through all of that, and how can she get out to him? So how does she respond to the invitation? What does she do with this compelling and captivating call? Well, when we get to the bookend in verse 17, the end of this song within the song, she says something astounding. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the rugged hills. The astounding thing in that, different to the first bookend, is that word turn, because it means turn away. She's saying, go back to leaping and enjoying. Keep singing your Tom Bombadil songs. Come back for me when the day breaks and the shadows flee. What? That is not what I expected. What is she doing that for? She's heard this wonderful invitation and she's just saying, no, come back. Go away, enjoy. Come back when the day breaks. Yeah, could she lose him in that time? Well, no, of course not. There in verse 10, my beloved is mine and I am his. It's the most well-known snippet of the song. She knows that nothing can separate them. They are fully devoted to each other. When the day breaks, it's the time for him to return. And until then, she can be at rest. He's not going to desert her or forget her. Their love is unbreakable. We saw that last week. She knows that he'll be back at the right time. So what a curious end to the song. Yeah, like I said, it's not where I thought it would go. So where is it going? Well, I think our noses have picked up an aroma that's brought us to the window alongside her. There's this delicious bouquet of many flowers in bloom. There's this scent of new life and joy there. So let's step outside her house and follow our noses and see where it leads us. I think it leads us to another house, not too distant geographically to where this song's been sung, but nearly 1,000 years away in the future. Let's walk up to Jairus' house in Mark chapter 5. And standing behind the wall, looking through the window, peering through the lattice, what we see of that house is that it's a winter house. It's full of cold and death. It's full of people crying and wailing. A 12-year-old little girl, Jairus' daughter, lies dead in the bedroom. But Jesus doesn't wait outside, peering in. He just comes in and sort of spring sweeps in behind him as he enters the house. He catches those foxes that would ruin this vineyard, those mocking voices of disbelief and death, where he says, no, the little girl's just asleep. I'm coming to wake her up. And people were laughing at him, but he gets them all outside and he takes the girl's parents and a couple of disciples into her room. And he takes her hand and he says some words in Aramaic, the language that Jesus and his disciples were spoken first. And Mark records that, which they don't normally do. They normally just sort of give us the Greek translation. Jesus says to the little girl, he takes her hand, Talitha kum, which the NIV translates as, little girl, I say to you, get up. And unfortunately, that gives me the impression that Jesus says something very formal and wooden. Little girl, I say to you, get up. And that's not what's going on there at all. Because I've often wondered why Mark gives us the Aramaic words, because they're not magic words and they're not an incantation that Jesus uses. They are instead, and contrary to the NIV's woodenness, they are delightful words. Tim Keller helpfully points out that word Talitha is a diminutive word for little girl. So a diminutive word is like a pet name. It's not your usual name the usual word that's used to describe a little girl. It's like a pet name that a parent has for a child. So Keller thinks it's best to translate it as honey. Yeah, like honey. So I'm not necessarily a big fan or a big user of pet names, but Mum had one for me, and so it was just for her and me, so I'm going to tell you it, but this is the last time we mention it, and you will never ever use it to me. Mum used to call me, when I was a kid, Mikey Bubbles. That's why no one else can ever use it ever again. But back in primary school, the first thing I heard of a morning was, Mikey Bubbles, time to get up. So you non-disclosure agreements after the service. But Jesus comes into the winter house of his beloved, this little girl, and he reaches his hand into the realm of death and he takes this little girl by the hand and he says, honey, time to get up. She might have heard that many times from her mum and dad. But today, Jesus is calling her to a greater sunrise. Or in the words of the song, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. He's calling her back to life. And he uses a pet name for her. The winter's passed. The day breaks and the shadows flee. And he brings her out of that house into the fullness of life and rejoicing. She's reunited with her parents. The crying and wailing is over. The season of singing has come. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He leaps across mountains. He bounds across hills to another winter house, the tomb of Lazarus. He said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going there to wake him up." Another beloved friend. And he's locked behind wall and window and lattice and tombstone. He's beyond reach now. He's 4 days dead. But Jesus calls him by name. And winter's grip is broken. And so those two wonderful events are like early wattle or bulbs bursting through the soil before their blossoms come. They're signs of what's to come. On that great and glorious day when the last shadow finally flees, never to return, Jesus will be there calling us by name. It's the day Jesus speaks of in John chapter 5. "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he's given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live. Those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." Jesus has life in himself. He is life. And in the wonderful song of spring, in the song today, speaks of that fullness of life that he grants everyone who trusts in him. And eternal life will be greater, more glorious, more wondrous than anything we can imagine here and now. So what will that day mean for you and I when we come to die, if that's the case, trusting in him? In Revelation 2, verse 17, Jesus gives a promise to all those who overcome, he says, to all those who keep on trusting all the way through. He says, "I will give that person a white stone with a new name on it, known only to the one who receives it." What a beautiful thing that Jesus is saying there. Like, it's too glorious to describe it as a pet name, but that's how it's working. A name that only Jesus and you know that he's going to give you. What will that name signify? Will it be a unique way, a reminder of the unique way that he's dealt with you? Will it speak some way of the way that you have reflected his character? Will it celebrate a special moment between him and you? Let your imagination roam among the fragrant vines. What would you like him to call you? And I wonder if that's the name he'll use on that great getting up morning. When my Saviour will say to me, "Micah Bubbles, it's time to wake up. Come and enter my happiness." Probably not that name, but impossibly even more precious than that. Jesus knows each one of us so completely, he can give us a name that will just be perfect. And it's just between you and him. But that day may be a ways off. Just like the she in the song, we may have to wait a while until the day breaks and the shadows flee. For us and for our loved ones who have gone before us, what hope do we take in the meantime? Well, the same hope that she has in today's song, the same security there in verse 10. "My beloved is mine and I am his." What do we say about them? Nothing can separate them. They are fully devoted to each other. When the day breaks, that'll be the time for him to return. But until then, she can be at rest because he won't desert her or forget her. Their love is unbreakable. She knows that he'll be back at the right time. For everyone who believes in Jesus, we can say, "My beloved is mine and I am his." We can say that because God puts it another way lots of times in the Bible. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 7. "I'll take you as my own people and I will be your God." Jeremiah 30, "So you will be my people and I will be your God." 1 Peter 2, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Once you were not a people, now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Hebrews 13, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. My beloved is mine and I am his. Can Jesus ever forget you? Never. He's got that name ready to give you on that special day. He'll take you by the hand and say, arise, come my darling, my beautiful one, come with me, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But in the meantime, we haven't been given the joy of Jairus' family or of Mary and Martha in this life, having our loved ones reunited to us yet, but they're not forgotten. And we will be granted a greater reunion where there'll be no more goodbyes, no more tears. That swift sunrise will usher us into that far green country and the shadows will flee. And Jesus, our beloved, will be ours and we will be his forever. How about I pray about that? And if we've got any questions, we can do that. Let's pray. Father, this part of the song is getting really close to our hearts as we think about the threat and the experience of death. Lord, we thank you that your word doesn't shy away from that. And we thank you for the way that here, in just putting this beautiful song, pictures of our relationship with the Lord Jesus, in ways that help us to be able to grieve well, but also have our hope anchored firmly in his promises. Lord, who would have thought that we could say of Jesus that our beloved is ours and we are his? Thank you for the way that he has life in himself and that he will call us through death to enjoy him forever, to enter his happiness and to experience all the fullness of eternal life. Well, we thank you that that gives us hope now in the present, even for those who we grieve over now. Lord, we thank you and we, our hearts are melted by the reality that the Lord Jesus has a name for each one of us, that he knows us so well. Lord, may we experience that. We know we don't have to wait for eternity to experience and enjoy the depths of that relationship. So may this week we be ever closer to the Lord Jesus and he ever closer to us. Help us to trust in his promises that we keep coming back to know that he's never going to forget us or leave us, but we can rest well knowing that he, even until that day when the day breaks and the shadows flee, he's got us well in his hand and nothing can take us away. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.